Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is Mama Seven, and we are doing the classroom. We are in the classroom. Absolutely love it. This is going to be an interesting show. I'm going to do a disclaimer before we get started with this week's show, because this is one of those topics you're going to love to hate me on. You're going to love to hate me. But, you know, one thing about a wonderful approach is that we don't do midway. We don't talk a little. We don't casually glance over things and Nope. No, we have to go all the way in. We have to really begin to share because there's healing in the sharing, and that's the whole purpose of the program. That's the purpose of the organization. That's everything. There's healing in the sharing. And so when we get to these topics, and we do get to them, and they get a little uncomfortable, and it does get uncomfortable. This is just life, though. There's nothing to get upset about, nothing to get mad about. It's just life. And, you know, I sit here and we do radio, and, you know, sometimes I do radio from the shrine room. Sometimes I do it from the living room. It depends on my feelings. And sometimes I need to do these, I need to do the programs with the mirrors in them, because I need to be sitting up here talking to myself and helping myself through some of these challenges, you know? So, but we're all in this together. One thing about a wonderful approach is it's all love. We're all trying to be better versions of who we were yesterday. This is not an overnight thing. You know, it takes a little time to get this right. It'll take until God calls us home to get it right. And even then, sometimes we got to come back and do it again. So, you know, we have to really just learn how to be patient with ourselves in this process. Okay? So that's what we're about to get into. But before we do, I want to talk about last week's show. Last week we spoke about the covenant we have with God, that God has with us, the promises that God makes to us. And it was such a profound show for me, because it really forced me to go back to think about what promises I make to God on a regular basis. And every now and again, we need to go back and review not just the promises that God has for us, but also, you know, the expectation he has for us. What is he expecting us to do for these blessings? You know, what is he expecting us to do for the reward? And what do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that will get our bottoms popped when we're still doing it? You know, it's hard to sit back and make demands of God, because we do in our own little childish ways. You know, we sit back, we have a heart full of expectation, we have a mouth full of requests, but yet our actions are not leading up to that. And so, you know, that program was kind of, you know, hopefully the way it was received, people received it as, I need to be spending some time getting me right. I need to be spending some time working on what I am saying to God and what my actions are doing, you know, because that's the way that I took it. That's the way when the program was complete, I said, okay, let me do a little self-reflecting here. What do I need to work on for me? What am I doing that I could be doing better? You know, we're always supposed to be working on this whole idea of improving, of bettering ourselves, and we don't have to be perfect. Thank goodness. Thank God. We don't have to be perfect, but we should be working towards being as great as possible. You know, every time I get a little tired, and I do get tired, And every time that I start to get a little frustrated, and I get plenty frustrated, but whenever this happens, I always remember that I am a reflection of God. I have royal blood coursing through me. I chose to be a divine finer woman. So I have to go and I have to rewind. I can't just go off like that. I can't act less than. I can't be less than, because I'm representing little old me. Little old me is representing something much higher, something divine, something beautiful. So I have to, even when I'm tired, I have to hold my head up. Even when I've had my fill, even when I don't think there's anybody listening, I still have to hold my head up and do the work that God has commissioned me to do so that I can be in his grace and I can be a positive reflection to him. I can be a positive reflection as to what I'm supposed to be. So that is me. I am it. And I really, really hope that people went back and thought about the promises that God has made for them and thought about ways that they're going to work on achieving it, okay? All right. Like I said, this week's show, we got to talk about starting over. And it's such a simple concept when I, you know, when I program the radio program, and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is only two words. It's only two words, starting over. But yet starting over can be the heaviest boulder you've ever had to roll. And when I was, you know, I do my preparation, I make my notes, and I, Mama 7, kept wanting to write this down, plan this. And Spirit was like, you don't have to write anything down for starting over. You've done it a couple of times. In fact, everyone has done it in one aspect of their life or another. And so this is not one of those programs that you're going to have to really educate people on. This is not about education. This is about motivation. I was like, okay, I can do that. So it's not about me telling you what starting over means. We all know what it means. We've all had to have gone through it. It's about how do you go through it gracefully. And now that I'm going to be listening with my pen and paper. How do I get that done? How do I be graceful as I have to start this thing over? And it ain't never, ever easy, ever. I've never seen a moment, time, or place where someone says, you starting over, you know what that means? That means you did something, you started a little something, and you have to go and do it again. What you did either wasn't sufficient, wasn't enough, wasn't something. You had to do it again. So starting over can be difficult, and it's not in the muscles. This is not something that you're going to have to sit there and say, you know, build up a strength for. Mm-mm. This is going to be one of those things that you're going to have to push in your mind. Oh, that mind muscle is real. It's built different, okay? What you have to convince yourself of is so different. So we're going to go through this step by step because that's our whole purpose for this particular idea, concept. That's what we have to do. We have to kind of go through the stages that it takes to start over. And this is an interactive program, as all of a Wonderful Approach programs are. All you have to do is press 1. That lets you know, hey, I'm here, I'm available, I would like to speak on this, I'd like to ask a question, I'm a first-time caller, I'd like to say hello, find out how Mama 7 is doing, but this is going to be one of those step-by-step things, okay? So And for those people that just jump on the line and didn't get a chance to read the actual program the way it reads, it says, starting over in your career. These are the hard ones. These are the popular ones. These are the hard ones. These are the ones that your career, your marriage, with your children, and in your relationship with God. And those four things, I didn't mention yourself. I didn't even mention that. I didn't talk about your health goals. How many times will we start over with that? I didn't mention those. I said career, marriage, children, God. How many times will you have to start over? So the first part of starting over is accepting that you have to start over. You have to accept that you have to start over. Because some of us will live in denial of the need to start over. We will go on pretending that everything is okay, that just continue as we were, that eventually it's going to turn around. I hate asking for directions. I really do. And so I do a lot of driving. Sometimes GPS, I drive in places where GPS is like, girl, I don't even know where you are. So I get to work in. So I'll be driving and driving, and sometimes I will have no idea where I am. I'll know that I'm lost. But I keep driving because I'm waiting for it to kind of work itself out. How many people have done that? Where you're working and working and you're traveling forward and you're hoping it's going to turn around. It doesn't, though. How many people have done that? How many people have decided that? How many people have decided that, hey, you know, I want to go my way. So even though the GPS says highway, I'm going to go on the road. Right? So here you are. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to go your own way. The GPS is taking off course, and there comes a point where you're like, man, I know I've traveled 10 minutes out of the way trying not to turn around because I don't want to have to double back. How many times have we done that? You got to cut that out, okay? You have to be big enough to begin to admit that this may not be the best road for you. You have to be big enough to say, look, this career looked good on paper. You know, when it came to the paycheck, it looked good. But what they didn't say is that you got to show up for work. No, what they didn't say is that this is a 24-hour job and you have to work three shifts, including a graveyard shift. They didn't say that. They didn't say that. So where you thought this was going to be a great job, it really is the bane of your existence. You just can't keep doing it. Graveyard shift is horrible, blah, 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 right? But are you going to keep traveling in this direction? Are you going to keep saying, oh, my body will get used to the graveyard shift? My husband is going to get used to it? Are you going to keep saying that? Are you going to keep being okay with the rest of the world being on one shift and you're on another? Are you going to be okay with that? Are you going to finally sit down and say, look, this ain't working for me. This isn't working for me. Let me try something new. Let me see what else I need to get done before I make these grand movements. Huh? How about? I think one of the biggest problems with admitting we've gone the wrong way is because we just don't want to admit it. We don't want to say, oh, yeah, this is the wrong direction. We don't want to have to say, oh, my mother told me I was going in the wrong direction, but I didn't want to listen. I don't want to have to say, oh, my best friend said that this was a horrible road to travel on, but I jumped my little happy self down there anyway. You know, thinking about a marriage is big. A marriage involves what? Family and friends, a lot of money. And you're going to sit back after all of this, demanding people come to see you, bring presents, testify to witness that you share your love, blah, 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 blah. And you're going to turn around and not get divorced? What is that? Greetings. I just got a message that you couldn't hear me. Actually, I got logged off. See, every time I start talking about marriage on the air, spirit be like, testify, testify, testify. Okay. Less energy. Less energy. More facts. It's hard to start over. It's hard to start over. The four areas seem to be impossible. One thing about the four areas that we're talking about, career, marriage, children, and God, is that by the time you get on that road, you have invested a lot. There's a lot to lose. And no one wants to feel like a loser. No one wants to feel like they were wrong. No one wants to feel like they're going through this situation by themselves. And so a lot of times people, to save face, keep going down the wrong direction. Even when they know it's wrong, they'll keep going. And that is what, it's not a crime to be wrong. As humans, we're not perfect. We're not, you know, that's something that everybody needs to be okay with. We're not perfect. God doesn't ask us to be perfect. So we're not. We don't have to be. But we also shouldn't be hard-headed. When we know better, you're supposed to do better. And we do know better. We do know not to follow a bad path. We do know not to continue down this road when we've been given warnings after warnings. But what's the problem? We don't want to start over. We don't want to start over. We don't want to have to admit that we could have been wrong. We don't want to admit that we overlooked this or overlooked that. We don't want to admit those things. So because we are being stuck in our feelings, you know, like my favorite saying that my kids used to always say to me, my kids in therapy, I feel some sort of way. That saying means absolutely nothing. Everyone feels some sort of way. But, you know, and it leaves it up to the listener to interpret what kind of way you feel. You know, it's not like, oh, I feel mad, I feel upset. I feel some sort of way. Some sort of way like what? Anyway, but that's what starting over will have you feeling like, some sort of way. It'll have you feeling like possibly like you failed. Starting over will have you feeling like it'll make you question, was I worthy of this goal to begin with? Starting over will have you weary. Starting over will make you want to not try anymore. That's my favorite. You know, that's my personal favorite. Oh, this is a problem. One, oh, the problem again. How about it don't be a problem no more? I'm just going to leave it right here. I'm going to leave it in good, safe hands. I can't no more. No, thank you. Right? So in our starting over, the first part is really starting, is getting to the point where we can acknowledge that we need to start over. Okay? I know I mentioned the three, but I have to add that fifth one in there, and I'm going to say our personal health. Okay? And now that I'm 50, the big 5-0, everything has to do with personal health. You know, and it has always been there. The challenge has always been there. I just haven't said it. It's been the pink elephant in my room, and I don't do pink and I don't do elephants, but it's been the pink elephant in the room. What are you doing with your health? You know, and now that, you know, I've gotten to this point, I'm like, hey, this elephant is getting big. This elephant is taking up the room. Back when it was little, I could ignore it, even though it's a baby elephant. But my goodness, now it ain't no baby no more. I can't ignore it. So how do you know when it's time to start over in your health? All right, like we said, first, you have to acknowledge the need to start over. Second, stop what you're doing. Stop what you're currently doing. You know, I want to say start over, but you have to understand there's pieces to this. There's steps to it. If you don't see the steps, you're not going to do the right thing, okay? So first, you have to acknowledge that you need to start over first. Second, you have to stop what you're currently doing. That, my friends, can be more than a notion, because chances are you've been doing this thing that you want to do for a minute. Chances are you've gotten accustomed to doing what you're doing. There may be a different benefit for you if you didn't realize it. So dealing with the weight thing, that's always a safe subject to talk about. Dealing with the weight thing, right? First, acknowledge that you've gone past your prime, past where you should be. You're now what I would call technically overweight. Not a good place for you to be. Not a good look for you to have. It's hard to maintain. Your clothes don't fit right. You need to, number one, acknowledge when you lose weight. And I had to get my pen and paper. All right? Two, now I have to stop what I was doing incorrectly. All right, what does that mean? I'm trying to lose weight. First, acknowledge means, hey, look for the signs. Two, stop what I was doing. Stop. Just a big old stop. And this is an exercise, and I love, you know, when I can see my people on the air. Especially by people that I know study together, you may need to do this with a partner. And I know you're like, oh, I'm almost 7. Now, first you want me to be honest with myself. Now you want me to be honest with somebody else. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, because sometimes, a lot of times, when we are traveling in this wrong direction, we're traveling in the wrong direction sometimes because we can't see the right direction. We're traveling in the wrong direction sometimes because we've been accustomed just to looking down, not looking at the stop signs, the stop light, not looking at anything else. So I'm trying to lose, I need to acknowledge I need to lose this weight, right? If I keep wearing the same sweatpants, my nice little elastic string waistband and blah, I ain't going to notice right away, or maybe even after I've taken a couple steps in the wrong direction, I won't notice. Because I got my comfortable pants, because all I'm doing is lounging in the bed. I might need some help acknowledging and looking and seeing where I'm going wrong with this. How do I keep going down this wrong path? And one thing about the wrong road, I'm talking about starting over. If you're in the wrong road, don't worry, keep going. It'll loop around in the other way, in the wrong way, not the right way. It's not going to just work itself out. You're going to have to put some energy forward. You're going to have to actually see some things and say some things. So, one, you got to look for the signs that we're going too far, right? Then we have to stop what we're doing. Stop. All right, so that means, you know, stop the Dairy Queen, stop any ice cream, stop the sodas, stop, what other things did I do? Pasta bowls. I don't know what devil created that, but if you've ever had one before, you know what I'm talking about. All right, list all the things you got to stop, okay? stop, and these aren't things, you know, this isn't my problem, but it's a problem. Sleeping all day. Stop the lack of exercise. Right? Now, and sometimes we do these things so quickly, you don't really realize that these are different steps, but they need to be. Because if you don't make them different steps, then you're going to make a mistake. Number three, commit to start over, okay? First, we had to acknowledge we were starting over. Second, we had to stop what we were doing in the wrong, okay? Stop the car. Now, we have to commit to start over. That means I have to make the U-turn. Just stopping the car is not enough. So we're talking about this bad romance, you know what I'm saying? So first you have to acknowledge this is a bad romance. This person's toxic. That's the new word. This is toxic, all right? Then we have to stop what we're doing. Stop pouring into something that's toxic. Stop giving to people that are users. Stop. We have to go through our list of stops. There's a couple of things you may have to stop doing. And then three, commit to start over. Say, hey, look, look here, Mr. Toxic. Look here, Miss Toxic. I can't continue on this toxic road with you. I am making the commitment to do what's best for self, and I'm going to start over. I'm going to let this go. Now, this commitment, this is real, family. Because you can skip this step, and you'll end up looping right back around. This is a very key step, okay? Because you have, when you commit to start over, then you're committing to your betterment, your health. You have to have a reason right here. This is when you're going to need that mental fortitude. This is when you're going to really need to understand why you are stopping. Okay? So I'm sorry. In a career, you can very easily say, I don't like this anymore. If I ever liked it, if we're talking about careers, reason, you know, your commitment to start, I want to start over because, you know, I've started over in my career before. I had career A. I was a thriving, very good at my job, tax accountant, loved it. What I didn't love was the amount of time I spent away from my children. And I was like, you know, I mean, I didn't love the hours and hours and hours of work. I didn't love the stress. I didn't. And I said, and I had to acknowledge, I know I've invested 8 years of college. Now, I did grad school. I mean, I did grade school. That ain't it. I've invested 8 years of college to become a tax accountant and good at my job. And I absolutely despise it. Because I really want to be closer to my children. I want to work the kind of hours they work. So they're, you know, when they go to school, I don't mind being at work, but I was coming home and they were getting ready for bed and I was leaving before they even got up good. That's no life. That was no life for me. That's not what I got into this for, right? So I had to acknowledge this isn't working for me. And I looked at the side. I was unhappy. Had plenty money. Money was not an issue. Unhappy, overworked, overwhelmed. I would say my quality of life, quality of family life was questionable. I said, no, I don't want to do this. So I had to stop working overtime. Stop. I mean, the commute was so horrible and working on Saturdays, bringing work home. It was bad. So I had to stop all these things. And then I had to commit to start over. What does that take? So my 8 years of right here is when you leave your investment right here. This is why starting over is so difficult, because the 8 years, however financially long it takes, I haven't even added up the dollars. I refuse to add up how many dollars it took for me to get to this point. Refuse. Still haven't done the math on it, right? But right here is when you leave your investment. So for me in this crazy job, 8 years of college, leaving it. That was my investment. And at that time, 10 years of tax experience. Leave that. I had to leave a little bit of a lifestyle, you know, a financial security. I had to leave it. I had to be willing to leave it, and I did leave it. So, and you have to list all these things right here because this is going to help you recognize and be clear what you're leaving. So when you find yourself wanting to creep back up into it, you got to be like, this isn't going to be good. This is right here. Commit to start over. This is when you leave your investment, all right? So let's look at the weight loss. Got to work on this weight loss thing. Mm-mm-mm. I have to commit to start over, right? That should be easy, right? So committing to start over. I have to, what am I leaving? What's been my investment in this weight loss thing, okay? Easy for me to grab something to eat on the way home before I even get here so I don't have to cook, right? So the convenience of just eating, picking up anything, I'm leaving that convenience behind. So I'm not saying I can't hit the easy button. In my house, I don't have a microwave. You know, anything that you want in this house, you actually have to cook under fire. There's no microwave, nothing. There's no air fryer or anything like that. Old-fashioned, cook your food, no radiation, all right? But the convenience of picking up something on the way in, something that doesn't work with my system, something that has empty calories, something that has a lot of calories, a lot of salt, a lot of sugar, a lot of things that I don't need, but the convenience, So I have to be able and willing to leave the convenience here. I don't go to the gym because really I don't like going to the gym. I don't like it. I mean, you get on the treadmill and you just, walk forever, not going anywhere? You know, I think I would be better as a hiker or something like that, but for where I live right now, hiking is not, everyday hiking is not accessible. And because it does rain and it does elements and people's random dog or whatever, it's safer for me actually to be in the gym with security cameras and everything else like that. You got to have a little key pass to get in and all. It's better for me to do that than it is for me to try to hike on the street. But I don't like it, okay? So I have to leave my discomfort of the gym behind, okay? I have to leave that. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is. It doesn't matter how boring I think this is in my brain. I have to be able to leave that behind and say, there's a bigger picture for me out here, okay? And that can be difficult. That can be difficult. People don't want to leave that behind. What else do we not want to leave behind? What else? You know, I don't want to have to put all this effort into it. Right? You got to put a lot of effort into it. You got to try. You got to want this and want that, you know. And so some of my lazy ways of handling things, I have to leave those behind. Do you see the commitment it takes right here? Starting over. The commit to start over. This is a spiritual show from a spiritual organization. So I got to talk about starting over with God. Okay? How did we get here? First, let's acknowledge that our prayer life has been slipping. Can we do that? Can we do that? Number one, can we acknowledge that the prayers have slipped. That means we're not doing them often enough. Can we acknowledge that the passion that we're supposed to have isn't there? So we're kind of losing our passion, losing our right? Can we acknowledge that I just got disappointed by God, or I believe it's by God, okay? Disappointment. And disappointment can happen anytime, all the time. Disappointed, I wanted this, I didn't get it. Disappointed, I wanted the promotion, I didn't get it. God, why didn't you see me through? Disappointment, you know, I wanted this relationship, it didn't happen. God, you showed me in a dream this was for me, why didn't this happen? Disappointment in, we can be disappointed in our own selves. God, I talked to a young man, I talked to a young man the other day, and he, being all of 26 years old, was like, oh, I wanted to be further in my life. The people around me, my friends around me, that I could look at them, I could look at them, I could look at their life, I could see where it appears they've gotten somewhere in their life, and I feel like I just haven't gotten anywhere in my life, and I'm just stuck, and I'm mad, and I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at God, and then I'm back mad at myself again. So you can be disappointed for any reason, and we will go back and look at God like, ugh, I'm hurt. That's what really all these things mean. I'm hurt. I'm distracted. Whatever. All right. So we had to acknowledge it. Two, second thing, we had to stop what we were doing. All right. When it comes to God, when it comes to starting over with God, stop the excuses. Ooh, that's nasty. Stop the excuses. Stop justifying, you know, you, when you're making excuses and stuff like that, you know, you're justifying your behavior, what you're doing, how you're feeling. You feel you're right because you feel like this. You feel entitled to whatever you were entitled to. But first, we have to just stop making excuses. Okay, whatever blame game you're playing, whatever little, a lot of times when it comes to God, we will, I want to say be dishonest, but really it's lie. You know, we'll be dishonest with ourselves and God. We'll sit back and say, you know, oh, well, I couldn't. God wanted me to, God wanted me to leave that man alone. But I just couldn't because he was paying my bills. Okay. If God said if you leave him alone, you got to leave him alone. It doesn't matter anything about them bills. Them bills are either going to magically disappear, someone else is going to pay for them, you're going to get a fantastic job. I mean, I've seen bills disappear where people, like, you know, have tons of mountains and mountains of bills and they just up and disappear. And I was like, whoa. How awesome. But we'll make excuses and we'll be dishonest and we'll try, another one that we do. This is what I see the kids do all the time. We try to minimize our role and what's going on. Oh, it's really not that big of a job. You know, when I'm always trying to shake this soda thing and I am doing like super fantastic. I have switched over to diet, and diet really doesn't taste that good. So I end up not drinking anything, just drinking some water. And you know, I'm like, you know what? You shouldn't be drinking water in the first place. Touche. Doing good. Fine. Whatever. Right? I'll minimize. I'll be like, oh, but I'm not getting an extra large. I'm just getting a medium drink. I'm just drinking 32 ounces of this sugary syrup stuff. I'm not drinking 40 ounces, you know, so I'm trying to make it seem like what I'm doing is not that bad, but you number two, it doesn't say slow down what you're doing. It says stop what you're doing. So it doesn't say get the smaller size. It says let it go completely. Okay? And we have to get real. We have to be honest with ourselves. What are we doing? What are we doing in this relationship with God? You know, we could say, oh, well, I pray more than that person over there. Please don't ever say that. Please don't ever say that. Because that's not what's important. We don't know what God got that other person over there doing. And seeing how you don't want to have to pick that up and put it in your wagon, please go ahead and keep working on what you got to work on. You'd be surprised the work that we have to do individually in your work. Stop the excuses. All right, and then number three, we're talking about God. We're talking about our relationship with God. Commit to start over. Make the commitment to start over. What does that mean? That means, and you can start with the basics on this, okay? Don't be afraid to work with the basics. That means, what do we do? What's number one on the list? What should be coming out of everybody's mouth as I'm saying this? Number one, prayer. Simple. Commit to saying your prayers. Prayer takes 2 minutes. We brush our teeth longer than that. Come on, family. Make the prayer sincerely. Open your mouth. Share it with God. Ask God to share with you. Right? So, number one, prayer. Commit to make the prayer. I'm going to make my prayers every other day. Even though everyone on the phone line should make prayers every day, but we're going to say every other day. Commit. I'm going to be doing my meditations twice a week. Even if that means I got to call in to work. Even if that means I need to stop, leave, spend my lunch hour in meditation. Go find me a cute little park to sit at and make the most of it, right? I don't care if that means that no matter what the sacrifice is, going to bed earlier, waking up earlier, going to bed later, whatever it is, be willing to do it because we're trying to start over. Make the commitment. You know, study. Everybody has a study. Everybody has something you're supposed to be studying. Whether you're studying your odus, studying your prayers, studying your herbs, studying your stones. Everyone has a study. Why do you have this study? Because there's going to come a point in time where Mama Seven is going to say, hey, I need someone that can interpret sign language for spirits. And you'll be like, oh, my God, she told me to study that sign language 3 years ago. Oh, I thought she would never circle. I didn't think she was going to circle back and ask me for it. You don't know what you're going to be called to do. And not just by me. Not just. You don't know what rescue hero you're going to be asked to be. You don't know what's going to happen in your life. But you should be following a discipline. And you should be spending a certain amount of hours per week dedicating yourself into bettering yourself to be a better vessel for God. God has given us so much. Can we at least practice what we might want to give to him? Practice it. Okay? So study what you need to study. And don't be afraid to start over. Okay? So number three is commit to start over. Number four, the family, this is the truth. Start. You know, starting over for me, we need to be setting some goals so that we can make sure that once we start, we're continuing. Everything we do, you know, when I am I am working on increasing my vitamin intake. I told you, as I get older, I got to take care of this temple. You know, I didn't abuse it, but now that I'm getting a little older, I want to take better care of it. I've decided I'm going to go for the extended warranty. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to stay in this temple, in this body here, as long as God has given me the opportunity. And I want the temple to work for me, okay? I want, eventually, I'm going to have grandchildren. And I want to be able to chase those little things, you know? I want to be able to spend time, you know, doing the things I want to do. You know, my mother, who is, you know, getting up there in age, but you can't tell it because that thing is just as active and gardens. I'd be looking at her garden, and I'd be like, ooh, that looks so cute. And then my knees get to cranking and cracking. I'm like, I don't even think I could get down there with her. Come on. We got to take better care of these temples. They're worth it. These are worth it. So create some goals so we're going to know what and how we're doing, okay? So in our losing weight, starting over, what's the goal? So for me, you know, the first goal is, and I have it to lose, I'm going to say 5 pounds in 30 days. That's not bad. That's about a pound and a half a week. That's not bad. That's not horrible. That's not too fast. I don't want to look like a crackhead. I don't want to gain it all back the second I have a wild weekend. You know, I start up with your goals and make the goal a 30-day goal so that you can go back in 30 days and know, oops, slipping. I'm slipping right here, okay? In your career, what's a goal? When I switched over, when I made that commitment to leave tax accounting and to go into the counseling field, I knew I needed more education. So I had to go back to school, which didn't kill me. It was actually very good for me. I learned a lot. But so that 30-day goal for going back to school might be enroll in school, you know, enroll, get accepted into the college, and enroll and get your classes, get your start date, okay? Do that. You'd be surprised how many things will pop up in the middle of your start date. Oh, I can't start now because I have to get ready, and then I can't do this, and I can't, all kind of excuses. Oh, I got to go get transcripts from my past school. I got to do this. Oh, all of this extra work, all this extra work that you're creating for yourself. No, when you're serious and you're ready to start over, you say, hey, I don't have time for excuses. Remember all these excuses that we have here, all these things that we had to stop doing. Stop what I'm doing. Stop making petty excuses. Start over. It's okay. All right, and then, of course, our relationship with the divine. How do you start that over? I am ever so thankful and grateful that to start that over is as simple as saying, I'm going to have a new relationship with God. It's that easy. It's that simple. All we have to do is make up our minds and say, hey, I want a new relationship with God. A deeper relationship with God. So how do you measure that over a month? Well, I know. Think about how you do any relationship. How do you do any, in all relationships that you have, don't you call the person? You know, if you met a new friend, or even if you met an old friend, oh my God, the other day I was in the store and I saw a friend that I used to work with. Talib was, this was 11 years ago. And she recognized me. And I was like, whoo, oh my goodness. And, oh, we had so much fun talking and catching up and everything else like that. It was great, right? If I wanted to start that relationship again, what do I have to do? Hey, let me get your number so we can stay in contact. And then guess what you got to do? Use the number. You have to call. Hey, how you doing? It's so good seeing you in the store. I'm so glad now that, you know, we're going to be able to stay in contact. Let's think about a time when we can get to the park. We can't go to restaurants because of COVID and stuff. Let's go to the park and catch up. And I want to hear about the kids, and I want to hear about the husband. I want to hear about everything. Just like in your relationship with God, you're making that commitment. Hey, God, I know that, you know, we fell out of contact, or I've been busy, or I've allowed something else to distract me from the greatness of you. That's, you know, that's what happened. Now, what I'd like to do, God, is I'd like to be in contact. I'm going to make more prayers. I'm going to do more meditation. I'm going to become active with a wonderful approach. I'm going to do whatever it takes to do whatever it takes, because we have to start doing more of whatever it takes, right? So over means there's going to be some expression from you. Something measurable is going to happen. So you're going to be able to say, oh, yeah, I know I have started over in my relationship with God because I made my prayers every day this week. I did my meditation. I felt good about where my prayers and meditations were. You know, I felt the passion. I felt the energy. And, you know, I got a chance to read it. I just got a good book, y'all. I love getting good books. I get books all the time, but this is a good one. Ooh, I cannot wait. So when I'm spending my quiet time with God, when God is spending that time pouring into me, I'm going to be pouring into this book and taking notes and learning. Oh, I absolutely love it. But this is how I know I'm starting over. I'm making these steps, okay? After four, start over. Five has got to be, you know, all my social work people are going to be like, you have to assess how it is, right? Yes, yes, yes. After we've done our start over step, which is like the obvious one, we have to go back, number five, and check up on where we are. Okay? You may have to make an adjustment, right? So where, you know, Mama Seven said, oh, I got to spend an hour in meditation, but an hour of meditation, I'll sleep. I can't do it. Ba, 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 ba. What else? Let me call her and see what else I can do, you know. Or let me start with maybe 5 or 10 minutes at a time, and then I'll build up to that, you know. Let me ask if meditation and Tai Chi are the same thing. Let me find out if I can spend my time doing my meditation outside. You know, let me ask if falling asleep is okay in the meditation. You know, let's find out what is really going on with this. Let me make an adjustment. 30-day adjustment. Let's say instead of losing my pound and a half like I said I wanted to, I'm only losing a pound. So instead of reaching my 5-pound goal, I only reach a 4-pound goal. All right? But 4 pounds is still doing something. It's still good, right? Let's think about it. I'm not going to automatically assume, oh, yeah, 4 pounds will work. I don't want to do that. I need to go back. Step number five, I really need to go and I need to find out, is 4 pounds a month in the 30 days, is that going to be sufficient? Or am I really just kind of slacking off and wanting to hit the easy button in the end? You know what I'm saying? Either one is okay, but let's find out where you really are. You may decide, I don't have to lose 5 pounds in 30 days. 4 pounds will suffice. You may say that. You may adjust your goal down. You may say, nope, I need the 5 pounds, and, you know, all that means, instead of exercising 3 days a week, I got to exercise 4 days a week. You see what I'm saying? We need to have that checkup, because that checkup is going to be where we, again, look at ourselves, you know, give yourself the good, you know, eye. Look it up and down. If you're working with your partner, and I suggest, you know, once some of these goals, do work with a partner. Ask somebody, hey, do you think 4 pounds in 30 days is ridiculous? You know, I know it's from working out, and I know I got to maintain, but, you know, do you think that's possible? It's only 1 pound a week. Do you think I can do that? You know, and if you're, what Mama 7 always does is, can you do it with me? I am always looking for a fast buddy. I'm always looking for a study buddy. I'm always looking for someone to help me understand more. Let me tell you a project that I have started, it feels like 10 times. And every time I stop, I feel bad. I feel bad. I go through my feelings of, you know, feeling a little defeated here and there, and, you know, wondering if I can make this project or whatever. But in the back of the handy-dandy prayer notebook, there are the 99 names of God, the 99 games, most merciful. I love this list. I've studied it 1,000 times. I have put so much of it. I've gotten, I think, up to, and I like to learn them. I like to learn the Arabic and the English. What we have listed here is the English. But if we can get to the I like to do the Arabic and the English, and the 99 names of God, all compassionate, all merciful, the absolute ruler, the pure one, the source of peace, the inspirer of faith, the guardian, the victorian, the victorious, the compeller, the greatest, the creator, the maker of order. Just go look at the back of this. And I have started this project, I swear, 10 times. 3 different study buddies. And no one is studying with me. And I get mad because I'm like, hey, you said you were in study. We're supposed to be speaking every day. And you're not studying. How are you supposed to help me if you're not going to be willing to study? So I get mad at this project. I get mad because, so there's 99 names, right? And if I'm studying the Arabic and the English side by side, what does that equal? What is it, 198 names? I know more than 198 words. I've studied code. I've studied, you know, the 12 rules of social work. I studied tax law. I studied silly things, rap songs. You know, there's not too many 80 rap songs that you're going to get over on me. I know them things, you know. I study things. So how come I can't get this project? And I started every devotion. And I'm like, okay, devotions is 30 days. That's 99 names. All that is memorizing 3 names per day, and I'll have it at the end of the month. Doesn't that make good sense, y'all? Is that good math, y'all? Nope. I'll never get it done, and it bothers me. I keep saying, this is going to be the year that I take seriously. This is going to be the year that I really work on getting that done, and it doesn't get done. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I really want this goal. I want to achieve this. Just for my starting over. Remember the first thing is acknowledging that you need to start over, okay? I haven't gone through my 99 names. I would not be happy at all. I haven't done my 99 names in probably months. How am I going to remember it if I don't even review it? How am I going to do that? So
this is something that I know I work, I need to work on, okay? So, of course, you know, I want everybody to take their time and think about what do I need to start over on? What projects, what concepts, what study guides, what do I need to start over on? And then how am I going to do it? Do I need some help? And then when you're getting help, make sure you're talking to someone that can actually help you, you know? I know it sounds crazy, but this is really where we are. So, one, homework. And the reason why we have to say homework, I wish you could see these two pages of notes that I've taken. And I've taken them because Spirit was on me so hard that these words had to come out. They had to come out like this. And people need to know the five steps for starting over, okay? Now we need to think about what do we individually need to start over in? List three things. List three things you need to start over. Yeah. So, and see how no one has pressed one to share, you know, because it's an open conversation. It ain't just me. Not just me and Spirit. Spirit's like, you know, Spirit was the co-host today. But you're welcome to always interject. One, for me, care of temple. I want this temple to last a nice long time. I look at Sister Makita and her lovely at her grandchildren, and I know that that day is going to be coming for me very soon. I am so excited. I mean, I can wait a little bit because, you know, my boy, no one's married yet, and I would like to, you know, see if I could put some permanent steps in place, but I want to take care of my temple because I want to be able to enjoy my grandchildren. That is the goal. That is everything. So, one, care of temple. For some people, that might mean losing weight. For other people, that might mean you need to get to the doctor and find out what's going on. For other people, that means stop putting poison in your system. You know, leave them drugs alone. Leave that drinking alone. Doesn't make me say it, but stop having sex with people you ain't supposed to be having sex with. But, you know, that's their story. So, one, care of temple. Whatever that means to you, however you need to care for your temple, care for it. Self-love is real, okay? Number two, for me, I definitely want to start over in some of my study efforts, okay? There was a time where I knew the Kabbalah Tree of Life. I knew the names to all the spheres. I knew the names in the, I want to say characteristics of each one of these spheres. I knew the lines from one sphere to the next. What does that mean? What does this first triad mean? What, when I say I knew that thing, I knew it. It's probably been about 2 or 3 years since I've been deep in that study, and I'm not as definite. Let's say that, right? I want to get back to where I was, and I want to take it further. So I'm going to go stronger. I'm going to go further in that study. That takes time. Time out of my already busy day. And guess what, though? I'm making the commitment. And when you make the commitment, you find the time. You make the time. You create the time. You don't allow excuses to come in there. You know, so you're tired. I'm going to tell you, I'm on my way to working part-time right now. How? I don't know. I just know that I need to, because I can't allow my spiritual duties to slack. Okay? So for me, studying my tree of life, studying the 99 names, really, that's my doctorate right there. If I can get those two, and it's more than just memorization, okay? Because to memorize is beautiful. It shows that you've been paying attention. I can get my enunciation correctly and, you know, everything else like that. But really to sit back, I remember one time when I was studying these 99 names, I was working with a brother, and he was like, okay, you told me what the words are. You know, you're so wonderful in your memorization. But what does that mean to you? And I was like, huh? You know, what does merciful mean to you? Where is merciful present in your life? You know, if this is God and you claim that he's a living God and you claim this is his name, merciful, where do you see that at? And I said, okay, hold on, let me put this down for a second. You know, I don't know if you've ever had a good cup of coffee. All my cups of coffee are good. And you take a sip and you're like, oh, my goodness, this thing is so good. Let me sit it down for a second. And so I had to sit it down. I had to sit my paper down, you know, because I wasn't prepared for that. I was waiting and prepared for someone to give me diction. No, you said that incorrectly. It's not salam, it's salim. No, you have to put this in front of that. I was expecting diction correction. I was not expecting someone to get me to reflect on this word in its presence in my life. So that year of trying to start my 99 names was totally different. I had to move from the memorization of the names to the application, and that was heavy. But that was the purpose of that particular year. That was the purpose of the work that I had to do. So that is a lot. Then number three, what's the three things we need to start over on? For me, number one, care of temple. Number two, my two studies that I'm going to be putting in place. There's still more. There's really three. But these two are going to take precedence over everything else, okay? And if you need a study, I promise you, call me, Facebook me. I got tons of them. There's so many. God, of course, is omnipresent, you know, omni-knowing. I mean, there's just everything, right? All places, all spaces. There's so much that we can be learning from God, about God, around God. So much. So much for us to study. It's too much for one person to study. That's why, this is why I'm making all of you study. Because you see, I got my work cut out for me. Look, my homework assignment is on the back book that all of you probably have in your house. All of those names in the back, that's what I'm talking about. And I need everyone to be studying, because when we get together, then we should have real understanding. We should, with 10 of us together, just 10, and we got about 25 in each city, right? But with the 10 of us together, we should be a knowledge base for so many, right? Get your studying on. Third thing we need to work on. I would like to work on, and this is going to, I want to word this correctly, right? I want to work on my, don't give me the lion. Let me get, I have to say this correctly, forgive me, y'all, because this is a real thing and I want to do it correctly because I'm a representation of God. So, you know, God don't handle junk. And so, I think I'm saying it right. Agape. Is that correct? Agape. Yeah. Agape. Agape is considered the highest form of love. The love of God for man and of man for God. Okay? There's all kinds of love out there. You know, there's self-love, which I have been hollering from the top of my lungs about self-love. Self-love, self-love, self-love. You got to get it in, right? There's brotherly love, sisterly love. That's a whole humanity love, right? There are a couple of loves out there that are worth the time. You know, romantic love, I don't take anything from it. If you can find it, amen, God bless you. The love of a parent and a child and a parent, I love that. And I'm going to be taking a step further. Eventually, I'm going to be having some grandkids. Until then, I'll be coming by and kissing and loving on all the kids I got close to me, right? I love it. All of that, right, family? I'm going to be working on my understanding of agape. I'm going to be working on my understanding. How do I take this love that I have, how do I take love as I know it and elevate it to the highest form? How do I love you past your faults? How do I love you in spite of them? You know, this to me is even further than the unconditional love, because that means I'm going to give you a love unconditionally. No. Agape is even bigger than that. And this is, I know, the next level of love. You know, this is love on all the steroids. You know, this is as big as it gets, as wonderful as it gets, as everything as it gets. And, you know, Spirit is calling for me to be more compassionate with my fellow brothers and sisters. Spirit is asking me to be more patient with my fellow brothers and sisters. So patient, compassionate, loving, all of that is next level stuff. Not what you can see. Not eye level, high level, you know. So we have to move beyond that. So these are the three things I'm going to be working on, and I'm going to be starting over on them. And the reason why I'm starting over on my agape, the reason why I'm starting over on that is because humans have irritated me before. I have been mad at people. I mean, I get mad at people, well, this sister says something I like, and this brother has been, you know, insensitive. And did it. Okay, yeah. But I'm talking about people as a whole be irritating me. People smoking cigarettes while pumping at the gas station be irritating me. You taking all our lives for granted to puff on some tobacco. You know, I get mad at humanity. And I knew it was only going to be a matter of time before God said, you cannot look, you can't do the work I want you to do and be looking at these people like that. You know, you got to be more loving and more sensitive towards these people. And I'm like, but God, they're doing silly stuff. God's like, I know. I know they're silly people. At the same time, I need you to better do you. This is not about them. is it about you? And so in doing that and understanding that, I want to do a better job in becoming more open with the love that I have for people and that I have for humanity, okay? So those are my three things. I want to be able to reach out to all of A Wonderful Approach and say, hey, what three things are you starting over? You know, what three things am I working on? No, not that you're working on. We're always working on something. What are you starting over? What are you saying, hey, I need to stop what I'm doing. I need to stop doing it like this. You know, I can sit back and say, as nice and kind as I was, there were still some things that I held in my heart that I want to stop doing. So how do you stop doing that? Stop it and work on bigger than that. So, you know, my Tree of Life studies, okay, I waned on them. All right, stop. Stop making excuses. Stop saying you don't have enough time. You do have enough time. Stop doing things that waste time. And y'all wonder why I don't watch TV. So when you start making your list of things that you're going to do, the three things you need to start over, I'm going to ask you about it. And I want to know what it is. I hope everyone selects studying as part of it. And don't just say, I'm a study. Study what? You saw I listed my things right here very clearly. I got a whole piece of paper full of notes on exactly how I need to do it, what I need to stop, what I need to commit to start over, all of that. I got it. So what are you going to study? Don't just tell me study. There's always things to study. So I hope everybody got something from this. I hope everyone understands that, you know, starting over is a natural part of what we're supposed to be doing. We have to start over. And I thank God that we're able to start over, you know, that we're able to say, hey, look, I may be traveling in the wrong direction. How do I make another change so that I'm not wasting time and losing myself, getting myself lost in this whole process? Because you can lose yourself going down the wrong direction forever, okay? So spend the time learning about you. Spend the time benefiting you. One thing I'm going to tell you, and we discovered this in devotions last year, the more we work and develop ourselves for God, the more we benefit from that. How cool is that? So all these things that I'm talking about, guess who's going to be the beneficiary? You know, yeah, I talked about taking care of my temple. I want to be good for when grandkids come. I want to be able to do this, that, and the other. Yeah, I say that. But guess who's going to be benefiting from it? It ain't going to be the grandkids. It's going to be me. When I feel better, when I'm sleeping better, when my clothes fit better, when I'm ready to go out there and Malcolm X Park, May 19th, Atlanta, Georgia. Anyway, but when I get ready to do what I want to do and I feel good about the way I look, oh, yeah, I'm the beneficiary. Don't forget, I'm a representation of God. I am in her likeness. Do I want that to look crazy? Absolutely not. So we have to really, you know, don't let me have to get prissy on you. I try to hold that back, but, you know, we all have to work on this. All right? Let's be honest. Work on it. So it was a great, great show. I feel great about the show, not only because it was a lot of good information. It was a lot of good information that everybody didn't get a chance to hear. This is one of those shows that I'm going to make a request that you, all my water cooler people, I'm going to request that you call somebody and be like, hey, I listened to the show on Wednesday, and this is what I'm working on. What are you working on? And if they don't know what you're talking about, I'm going to need you to school them. This message was a big message for quite a few people that may have missed it. So everyone here is charged with, everyone on the line is charged with speaking with at least one person about either you're starting over or what are they going to be starting over? What are you starting over? What are you going to be building on? What do you need to stop and put into proper perspective? What is it? Everybody needs to make one phone call. And then if they say, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. School them. Got 5 steps. 5 things we got to do. School them. This show is important. You know, we have to do this. I believe that the New Year's in spring. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, Mama 7, you just went and had all the prayer that, yeah, no, don't matter. Still going to pray up New Year, December 31st. I'm still going to pray it up. We still got to make a resolution. We still have to talk about what we got to leave and what we're taking forward. We still have to do all that. But spring is the new, it's the new year. But what we're doing now is we're putting things in place so we will be prepared for the new. If God came right now and said, hey, are you ready for devotion? I'd be like, ooh, I thought I had till April 1st. It's April 2nd. I thought I had till April 2nd. I thought I still had some time to do some things. And I mean, yeah, I'm ready, God, but no. Between now and March, you're going to hear a recurring theme in all of the programs. And the theme is, how do I get ready? How do I get ready for the spring? How do I get ready for the greatness of God? How do I start to get myself together so that I am prepared for the greatness of God? How do I begin to make all these things work for me? How do I do that? Okay? And so I want everyone to do that. Call your person. Make your list. Let's get interactive. These programs are, you know, for those that have been to workshop after workshop and retreats and stuff, the radio programs are a great way of beginning that spiritual journey. So I want to go into, of course, our absolute, the thing that makes us a spiritual organization and everything else like that is what? Our prayer. We are prayerful people. Stay in prayer, because when we're in prayer, then we are with God. We are under that umbrella, okay? As everybody knows, because I've mentioned it a couple of times, we have our Sunday program. Let me rephrase that. First Sundays, Sister Faith walks us through prayer, the formula, the need, some of the words. And I love, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the last program, you've got to listen to it. Number one, all the wonderful approach. We wanted to call in, share. The phone lines were lit up. We had some people call, come through, drop those nuggets of wisdom on us, right? But prayer is the key. It unlocks the door. Now, whether you choose to open it and go through it, that's on you. But if that door is not unlocked, you ain't going nowhere. So this is why, you know, I end this program in prayer. This is why, you know, all the program, we have a program just about prayer now. And I'm hoping, I'm going to pray about it. Someone's going to call me and say, Mama 7, I'm ready. And I'll be like, okay, you're exactly what I've been praying for. But we are expanding and we're growing and we're doing all these wonderful things and we're doing them in God's name, and we're here to share and expose people to God's goodness. And all of that starts with this very basic beginning fundamental block called prayer. Okay, so the prayer we're studying this month is Psalm 91. So I'm going to say Psalm 91. or a good bit of it, and know that this is the prayer we're going to be spending our time and energy on. It's a very, very strong prayer. Very, very strong prayer. I've studied this one before. Very purposeful prayer, okay? Psalm 91, Father, Mother, God, dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your report. You will not fear the terrors of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him in honor. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.